We're arriving here. This is the end of chapter 24, and then we'll move into chapter 25, which are parables of our Lord, mostly about the ultimate moment. We call it the eschatological moment, the ultimate moment. Today, as we're getting toward the end of the gospel, we have these warnings. Today it's clear. Stay awake. Stay awake. Don't be bewitched. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus. So the Lord gives us this parable. And this theme, which is surely from him, is picked up in Thessalonians. And this image of the thief coming at night. And gets in. Nobody's ready for him. And he says, I'm coming like that. When I come, only those who are wide awake are going to get it. The others will be sound asleep. They won't know. It's a striking image for Jesus to give, isn't it? I'm going to be like a thief. I'm going to come when you don't expect me. At the end of the world, at this time right now, when he's coming, he's told us he's coming, huh? Certainly, you know, I am coming in the hearts and souls of all those who will accept me, so that we can make the world safe again for God's children. That's the promise. Now be awake. What does that awake mean? It's a word. I'll tell you where this, the word in Greek is grigorin, which is taken from like shepherd. Stay awake, be awatch, you know, this kind of notion. We have it, stay awake and pray that you do not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Be alert. That one, by the way, as you know, that comes from the agony in the garden, where the disciples, the leaders, are asleep. Jesus is going through this moment upon which the whole history of the universe depends. Whether in his human will, he will accept the will of the Father. Of course he will. But it costs him everything he's got. This is the ultimate moment. And the leaders of the church, they're asleep. Now, Mark, not Matthew so much as Mark, points out, you see, in chapter 13, he says, in this part of his account of this teaching of Jesus, that the Lord not come, and find you sleeping. Then he comes back from his agony to his disciples, and he literally, word for word, he finds them sleeping. It's supposed to be like a thrown up large, the danger. So that this next parable is all about the faithful and prudent servant. It's not exclusively addressed to leaders, but it's primarily addressed to leaders. And as I was thinking, reading this, I thought, one of the traps has been, in our individualistic world, we have no respect for authority. And therefore, people with authority have no respect for authority. And therefore, no idea of their responsibilities. It says here, give them their food at the proper time. What is their food at the proper time? To preach the truth. To preach the truth. Do your duty. But you see, if we make light of authority, then people with authority make light of it. Why should I go to all this trouble? I don't have any responsibility. I'm just supposed to. And Jesus is telling us, it depends on you. Everyone will be judged, individually. But it depends on you. To preach the truth. But it depends on everybody to preach the truth. Parents to their children. Friends to their neighbors. Preach the truth. Now, that doesn't have to be all, you know, inspiring people with fear and dread, and because that does nothing and it's not what Jesus is saying. But to care and to pray for those who have this responsibility, particularly priests and deacons and bishops, mostly bishops and priests, pray. The Lord is pretty disappointed in a lot of us, you know. We have not done a good job. Not only have we not preached, but we have allowed all sorts of things to happen in the church. And been afraid of criticism. Because when you stand up and preach, people get mad. And they come and they tell you, I'll never come back to this church again. What are you supposed to say? Good, thank God. Good to get rid of it. You can't. That's your responsibility. Well, then, I'm really sorry. I'll never preach the truth again. You can't do that either. Do you see? But you can rely on the power of the truth of God. I know somebody just yesterday confronted somebody who's drifting away with a very strong prophecy. The person got very mad and walked off. Pray for them. God knows which way it's going to go. That it's very serious. Could be a destroyed life. That's what it means to be awake. You see this life drifting. You see it getting destroyed. Do you see Satan? Do you see what's going on there? This is a destroyed life happening in an environment where, oh, everything's okay. You know, don't get so excited about it. And watching a life get destroyed in an environment where there is no right and wrong, and there is no truth, and there is all this tolerance, you know, or whatever the right word is. I'm not saying we have to be Savonarola. You know, he was a very fiery Dominican in the 14th century who preached fire and brimstone day and night. No, but we have to care about the truth. But if that wicked servant says to himself, my master is long delayed, bah, you know, this isn't serious. He's in trouble. That's why every day we pray for the Pope, the bishops, and all the clergy. Every Mass, every day. But that doesn't let anybody else off the hook, you know. It really doesn't. Love the truth, speak the truth, find the love to mediate the truth. Make it attractive. But don't let people stay in darkness. Because their lives could be destroyed in this world and in the next. It starts little by little. Then people get so hard. It is almost unbelievable. The Lord says, look, I'm coming back. I am going to put an end to history as you know it. And the plan of my Father will be complete. Be ready. It'll happen for you at a moment you don't know. And he's saying right now, through many prophets in many different ways, I am coming back now. Not to end history. Not that kind of coming back. But as an act of mercy, to save you from the suffering and the darkness that your own sins and your own tolerance of sin have brought into the world. It's a great mercy. And that's why he tells us, stay awake. Make sure you're praying. Not just grace before meals, like really praying. Pondering the scriptures, listening to Jesus, obeying him. A lot more depends on it than we realize.